Welcome to Omschooling for Spirituality. The Flow is a delightful mix of insight, divine inspiration, and humor, where wisdom meets earthiness to help your ongoing spiritual growth and transformation. Follow the flow of enlightenment and explore everything spiritual through the deepest self-inquiry as student Lisa Berry asks master spiritual teacher G.P. Walsh the kinds of questions you would ask an elder, a wise man, or a sage, and receive direct, simple, comprehensive, and deeply human lessons and teachings. From transcending the experience of separation, releasing old conditioned patterns and wounds, and alleviating suffering, to demystifying esoteric practices and revealing one's true purpose and innate freedom. Welcome to the flow of enlightenment. Transformation is all there is.
And here we are, transforming into hacking. Ooh, quite a different feel of the words there. Hello, GP.
Hello, Lisa. Yeah, transform and hack. Boy, a completely different vibe.
Yes, and actually what makes me think of the differences there is that one really is trying to get a shortcut. We have that in our show write-up there about, you know, like we're gonna hack in. Where's the shortcut? Let's. We're here at the computer, ready to get into the to know it all. And then, you know, you're rushing, but you don't have. But transformation is so much more a natural beauty of steps.
Well, transformation is permanent. A hack is just kind of a short term thing.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, transformation is you transform, you've become something else. A hack is a patch job, right?
Yeah.
Bubblegum and baling wire, yeah.
That is so true. I actually remember a couple of years ago I was doing something for all these little hacks. Have you ever watched those videos where they go, you can hack this, and you're like, those are amazing, cool ideas, but you're right, they're probably more short-term, not quite as polished, a little bit messy, as you would say.
Yes.
Why are we so drawn to thinking, let's just hack into spirituality and get it over with and get there? Why are we so excited and anxious to get there?
Because we don't want to transform.
It kind of comes
with the territory. We want the fruit of transformation, but we don't actually want to change. Right? Mm. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Right?
Yes.
And traditionally in the East, the snake has been the symbol of transformation because it sheds its skin. It completely sheds the old body. Mm. And it's interesting because we think of it as this nice clean process where they just kind of pull it off and they crawl out and off they go, but it sticks to them and stuff. They actually have to scrape themselves against rocks and stuff to get it off.
Yes.
And that's the true nature of transformation. It's a real rebirth. Mm. You know, the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. You know, the caterpillar doesn't want to just hack on some wings, right? It's still a damn caterpillar, right? I mean, there's a complete inner shift that has to take place. It's a total regeneration. It's a total transformation of outlook, of perspective, of self-identity, which is spirituality is the hack.
Yes, that's, I love that you said that, because that was an eye-opener. You think, wait a second, spirituality is the hack, and I love that you had shared that what we're hacking through is our mistaken perceptions, you know, mm-hmm. that it's, and actually you just made me picture this a little, I can imagine this being a storybook with a little caterpillar going, no, I'm not doing that whole cocoon thing, I'll just strap these wings on and off I go.
That's right.
That is often what we do, though. We don't know how to transform. Like, is there a way? Can we hold back on transform? Can we prevent it and stop transformation from occurring?
Not really. I mean, look at the human body. You know, in the time it took me to say that sentence, look at the human body, you've lost several million cells have died and several million cells have been reborn.
Yes.
That's how fast this turns over. You know, some of your organs, you know, your cell, the lining of the stomach that keeps the mm-hmm. stomach acid from eating all of you, is replenished every 24 hours, your pancreas every 3 days. I mean, transformation is all there is. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I mean, you're never, ever static, right? The river never stops flowing. We just think it. Our minds get stuck in patterns. Those patterns we get stuck in get increasingly out of sync with the flow of life. And we feel more and more left behind. And then we want to try to hack, to try to catch up. But the problem is that we're out of sync with life. We're out of sync with the way things are. We're out of sync with our own nature.
Ooh.
You're not the same person you were when we started the show.
Right, yes. Now, this leads to a really important question here. I've seen this, heard this, been told this, that our body is like, oh, I'm going to say this wrong, but like a CPU, like in a computer, and it's giving this program details or instructions every micro whatever second, you know, mm-hmm. faster than the speed of light. And if so, I always thought, well, if I have a birthmark and my mother told me, well, this is your birthmark, and then I see the birthmark, and then I'm told that's the birthmark, and I tell my friends, this is my birthmark, am I making that birthmark, my skin, creating that birthmark over and over? And if suddenly I decided one day that I don't have that birthmark, it's not there anymore, could I literally reprogram my skin, like this manifestation, you know, this 3D body, to be something to do, so to create something different because of my perception?
Well, that's a big question, and the ultimate answer is yes, but we are quite a distance from being able to do that. There's a whole lot of preliminary steps that we have to go through before we realize that kind of transformative power.
Right.
The body is, this is, okay, we're going to go out on the limb here. The body is a thought.
Yes, okay.
It's not a thing. The world is not a thing. It's a thought. As my teacher Muji says, there's one earth, there's 8 billion worlds. We all live in our own world, and it's more or less anchored to our underlying assumptions about the nature of reality. And the nature of reality is based on, at least in the West, and pretty much all over the world now, the subject-object relationship, classical analysis. The world exists as a material object. I'm a material object in it, and I learn about it by taking it apart until I find its smallest little particles, which they've never done. No one's ever actually found the smallest particle. They just keep dividing, or they disappear just into a field. So our concepts of what is real, that life is some kind of a static thing, right? That's where we're stuck. Now, feeling that stuckness, we want the power to be able to change it to our liking.
Aha, that's right.
Right? We don't question the value or the reality of the liking we want to change it to. Hmm. We always want to change it to some kind of benefit for our egos.
Yes.
Whether that be and that is really what, for most people, is personal development, spirituality, hacking. It's, you know, I don't like the way things are. I want them to be different. And then we look for different ways to do that. You know, yes, you have the absolute power, if you truly realize it and overcome all the beliefs that say you don't, to remove that birthmark. But here's the beauty of it. Once you do realize that power, you don't have any interest in getting rid of the birthmark. It's fine right where it is.
Right. Yes. I knew that you were going to come along and say, well, you know, eventually you don't have to try to be okay with things. You are.
You are okay with things.
Okay with things.
Well, why wouldn't you be? Right? I mean, really, when you look at it, what's wrong with right now if you don't think about it?
Well, that's very true. Yes, if you don't think about it.
If you don't compare right now to anything else, right now is absolutely perfect.
It's the comparison that keeps you from the hack.
The comparison is always a projection of into the future. There's something else that should be here instead, and that belief is the cause of all suffering.
Okay. Okay, so here's, so I'm going to bring this up right now. So we had a question written in, and this is, I feel like it's where it should go. Sometimes these are so from everywhere. We're letting everybody know that this is a call-in show. You are more than invited to call in. And the number is 202-570-7057. And I'll just keep saying that over and over for you guys to call in and give us a question. GP can pull up these beautiful things and see where we go with it. Now, this one comes from Alberta, and it's about authenticity. And the question was, if we are always transforming, is there a point where true authenticity doesn't exist? I almost have to think about that. Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't exist in a solid form, right? I mean, to be authentic is to be what you actually are, which is a flow.
Right? Oh, okay.
And so that is authentic. And if you really are just allowing yourself to transform constantly, and yet at the same time, we realize the transformation, there is something constant here, right?
Right.
It isn't just this craziness, right? The horse suddenly doesn't become a tree, right?
Right.
Right. There is some pattern integrity that continues. But what I really want to draw people's attention to is that while we're trying to make the change, that which is constantly transforming, static, right? And of course,
yes,
you can't do that. You can't make the impermanent permanent, right?
Right.
Nobody can do that. There is no power that allows you to do that, right?
Okay.
But there is something that isn't changing.
Oh.
It's just not what you're experiencing outwardly. It's the inward you. Look at your whole life from beginning to end. Right? Mm-hmm. The time when you were 5, when you were 10, wasn't there something about you there that is exactly the same now?
Yes. Yeah. Something that's familiar, but would we know what it is?
Well, it's you.
Right.
It's the you that can't be defined. Mm. It's the you that is aware of all the transforming. And of course, to be a constant transforming, in order for it even to be perceived, it must be against the backdrop of something that is not changing at all. The only thing that can't change, that cannot make any shift whatsoever, is consciousness. The knowing of the transforming.
Yes.
The knowingness is never changing. And that knowingness is what you are.
Okay. I really appreciate that, what you said about having the backdrop to see it. So if, call it consciousness, well, let's just, for my brain to be static on it, right, is the thing that's always familiar, that's always, which is me, or you, we'll say you, that is the constant, that is the one that's witnessing, because if it wasn't standing still, it couldn't see how fast things are transforming and changing around it. It's like you're in the moving, you're in the car, in the non-moving car, and things are going past you.
Well, yeah, you know, you're in the middle of a in some place, and the crowd, and it's very loud, and you know, there's some music playing, and you can't hear it. Right? When you have to have silence in order to hear music.
Right. Yes, good, to fill that space, to fill the thing around you.
Yeah, otherwise you can't see it. you can't hear it, right? It gets lost in the noise. So there must be this silent, empty background. This is what Buddhism means by emptiness. It is the shunyata. It is just this complete absence of quality against which all qualities can be seen.
And if one person does not ask that question, does not get to know who they are, does not get to recognize the silentness, the space, then they would just simply not see the transformation? Would they miss out on the transformation? Or it would just be transforming and they wouldn't know?
No, we all innately are looking for the constant, the heaven, the unchanging, the permanent. Mm. The trustworthy, right?
Yes.
And when we don't find it inside, we look for it out in the realm of the impermanent and changeful. And we are disappointed constantly because what we're looking for, what we want is permanence, and all we find is impermanence. And then we start fighting with life, trying to force it to stop moving or to do what I want it to do. And it can't. It can't. Everything is a constant transformation. Everything is a flow. It looks, even the rock, right? A solid rock, like El Capitan, the one solid piece of granite in Yosemite Valley, just enormous. It's not. It's a flow.
This is rather interesting. So I know we're sneaking away to commercials, but everyone, as we find out how to hack or not hack spirituality, we are really looking at what's permanent and what's ever-changing. So we'll meet you back here on the Flow of Enlightenment.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Good I'll enough.
Fail.
They'll judge me.
I'm afraid.
So others
it's
are doing
it.
Been done.
Who are you not to fully express who you are, to be your warrior of light and do business from your fierce, aligned energy? I'm Rosalind Fung, host of Activate Your Soulgasmic Business here on Om Times Radio. Let's get your business turned on to the next level. I invite you to hop on a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalindfung.com and let's monetize in your soul mission. Go to Rosalyn, F as in fun, UNG.com.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Oh, we're all ready for the hack. All right, hacking spirituality here on the Flow of Enlightenment with GP Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry. We're inviting you to call in with your questions at 202-570 7057. And I remembered I did have a question emailed earlier, but it actually goes well with our sponsor. So I'm going to go ahead and say thank you to our sponsor because it's absolutely perfect. And that is Suzanne Lavoie. And I do want to say, you guys, Suzanne, you can go to her Facebook page for High Rise Tourism and give it a good old like there, thumbs up, and see what she's got going on there, because what she loves doing is really her service that she offers is to help business owners in the hospitality, restaurant, and tourism industry to create an epic experience for their guests. And that'd be you, the traveler. So at High Rise, and she calls it the High Rise Experience, and I love this. And she does this through promotion and advocacy using stories, because she's a phenomenal writer, as a background and author. She loves writing blogs and posts, and then she shares on Facebook, and you can see that on her website and everything. So go on over there, you know, whether it's Airbnbs or attractions or restaurants, all good stuff like that. She's got some great posts there. So go to Suzanne Lavoie, and that's capital L-A, capital V-O-I-E. So thank you to High Rise Tourism.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Aww. And that was the question I remember that was coming in from travel, because the question was, and I'm not going to read it word for word, but when someone travels and they suddenly feel at home in a place that they've never been before this lifetime, but they feel like, you know, they've hacked into their happy place, like they've come home. The question being around it, if there's a recognition of a home feeling, or I know you place, or I'm comfortable here place, where's that connection coming from? Is that because they just don't want to transform, or they knew it before, or is it just recognizing in that place the vibe in them?
Well, yeah, it's just you recognize something that just feels like you. And that really is all there is to it, you know. I mean, were you there in another life? I mean, who knows, right? Maybe, you know, maybe not. Maybe there's just an affinity right in this moment. Mm-hmm. And it may not necessarily last, right?
Oh, it transforms as well.
Yeah, the next time you go back, it could be different. Or it could last for a lifetime. This is the wonder of it, because transformation is constantly happening in all dimensions. There's this constant going in and out of sync, you might say, with different things. There are some people you meet and it's just boom, it's immediate. You're friends, right?
Yes.
And other people immediate. And immediately, you know, you want nothing to do with each other, right? And everything in between, right? Some people, it's like real friends, some lovers, some business associates, or some just a casual conversation, like with an Uber driver or something, you know?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes there'll be, I lived in New York City, sometimes there'd be a cabbie that I really enjoyed the cab ride, right?
Okay.
And other times I was just sitting in the back, right?
Right. I love that.
But it, what we have to do is just, when it happens, it's a blessing. It's to be celebrated. It is just a thing of enormous enormous beauty, and it's precious. Don't assume that it's going to be there tomorrow, and just really soak it up. Soak up that moment. This is all about having a very different relationship with life, right? Yes. Instead of trying to control it, right? And trying to fix it in some way. Okay, I want to make it just like here, and I don't want it to change. If you recognize that that's impossible, then you simply let yourself flow with it. Jump in the river, and you let it take you to the ocean.
Yes, that flow just always. That's the show is perfectly titled. I have to tell you, who did that? Who named that?
You did.
I think we did. You know, I love that. Is a great thing there, having a different relationship with life. And so it's interesting, because I was going to bring up about you share with you all different. I'm going to call them teachings. I don't know if that's the good word, but with your different teachings. I honestly even say, you know, Buddhist practices or, you know, whichever it is, they have their different ways of teaching. And one of them you talked about in your lovely newsletter, and people need to sign up for this lovely newsletter and get them on the list, and they, so they know what's going on and everything, but we want you to go to gpwalsh.com. And I was going to bring up this one specific one. You talked about four, and I'm going to kill this word if I try to say it, but I want to say, no, I'm going to have you say it first. In the four Bodhisattva practices that you mentioned?
Oh, the Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva, yes.
Right. Yes. Yeah. They are those four practices that they teach, and you share one saying, becoming adept at distinguishing the perceptions of one's own mind. And
yes.
When you said that about having a different relationship with life, I thought, ooh, this is where, if we want a different relationship with life, we have to become adept at distinguishing the perceptions of one's own mind. And can you share with us how that one of those practices goes on?
Well, life is not, it has made no deal to conform itself to our will.
Right. No right. Deal. I like that.
No deal, right? We can try to force it as much as we like, but it can't be forced. You can't make the truth false, right? Mm. Which means our job is to conform to what is true, to harmonize with the way things are, right? Which means to discover the way things are. And the block to discovering the way things are our assumptions, our perceptions, what we believe things to be. If we don't question those, then we'll never harmonize with life. We'll find ourselves in constant struggle. And that's what Buddha is pointing to recognize the perceptions of your own mind. Because those perceptions, held as beliefs, literally determine everything you experience. That will be the world you live in, even though it isn't the real world. And we'll just be feeling a constant sense of struggle and even suffering because things just aren't going the way they're supposed to.
Right. This isn't supposed to happen. This was not supposed to be my life.
This is not supposed to be my life. Right. And how many people actually say that?
Yes, I have.
And then we set out on the self-help treadmill to try to improve it, right?
Yes.
I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to fix these things. I'm going to raise my vibration. All well and good, but it isn't going to do a damn bit of good if your perceptions are still off from what is actually real.
That's actually a good, that actually sounds like a hack right now. Like, there you go, the hack is you got to get to the perceptions. And because, interesting, I was thinking of, oh gosh, you know, but some people who can become chronic questioners, you know, they over-question, like, whereas they don't have, even when they get to not just a perception, but the truth, do some of us even still question the truth? Because, and is, if we do, is that because we lack trust or just lack that knowing, like that?
Well, when you approach truth merely intellectually rather than spiritually, you know, the mind will never ever let you be 100% certain of anything.
Oh. Yeah.
Because it can't be certain about anything, because for the mind everything is relative, everything is in relationship to something else. And since it's all constantly changing, when one thing changes, it all changes. So there, you can't find truth in the objective world. It has to be, it has to be found in that one place that isn't changing, right?
Yes.
By definition, truth does not change. It can't.
Right, yes, because it neither
If it
begins,
does, it's a belief,
nor
it's not truth. So what's the only thing that doesn't change? Consciousness, you.
Right.
Which means you are the truth.
Yes.
It's not something you know. It's what you are.
Right.
You are. I am. That's the verb to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in Sanskrit, the word for truth is sat, and the word, but that's also the word for being. They don't see the truth as something that is known. They see truth and being as one.
Isn't that I love that. That's actually quite deep, but yet as soon as you say that, and every time you say it, because I need to hear it obviously a bunch of times, is that it feels good. Okay, we'd sure shorten our language up. We could tighten our language up a little bit if we could use one word for many, which I do want to take this opportunity to invite people to your set songs, which you do on Sundays. Right now, you're doing them every Sunday, but you might switch that less than that. But right now, if everybody would like to tune into GP Walsh YouTube on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern time, and you're on there for about 2 hours usually.
Yes.
And you can also write in some questions there. And I'm going to jump in on the retreat here as well, because we mentioned this last week and we're going to invite you guys again this Friday, like just in a couple days here, Friday, yes. Saturday, and Sunday, a 3-day retreat with GP Walsh. And this is where right now you guys could just listen to us here on the show or send a question in, or maybe jump on, YouTube and ask a little bit of a question back and forth. But the retreat really allows you to have that interaction with GP. And GP, you really set the stage. I know, stage for self-care. But actually just to share a little bit how that looks. So if people are interested in joining online, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with you for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, what would that look like if they get online with you for that retreat?
Well, we're together on Zoom, which means, I can see you, you can see me. Yeah, you can hear me, I can hear you. And it gives me an opportunity to actually work with people.
Yes.
On Satsang, it's chat, right? I'm live streaming on YouTube, and I can see comments that are made. And so people ask questions, and that really is the whole Satsang. I'm just answering questions. But I can't actually go do a back and forth with somebody, right? Yeah. Even if somebody on a show here calls in, we don't. It's not the format for me doing an in-depth, back and forth with somebody, because there's all sorts of subtlety in this process of non-dual self-inquiry, right? We're so used to our perceptions, it takes some guidance to be able to start hacking through them. To distinguish what is just a perception and what is the truth.
Yes.
Because we assume our perceptions are the truth. This is not something most people can get on their own. It requires some teaching and some guidance, and that's what the retreat is about, for me to be able to spend adequate time with everybody.
Yes, and what I love about retreats, and just is a little bit different, because you guys each could also have your own individual session with GPO as well. But sometimes when you hear other people's questions or other people's stories or perceptions, then our hearts open up. And I love that, one of them is that, whatever's on your heart, on your mind, on your heart, that's what gets the attention. And I love that, because generally it always happens, the right people come together at the right location. So whether there's 5 people, 100 people, you generally are all in the same place and ready to transform. And I love that guidance to hack through perceptions. You guys, that's the best reason why you gotta want to come to the retreat. I can imagine Machete going quick through this. Oh, come over here. So you guys want to go on over right now is the final day. We're keeping it open today to save $20. So the retreat is just $100 flat, as opposed to the $120, which will be starting tomorrow. So head on over to gpwalsh.com/retreat. So yep, there you go. Pretty easy retreat. And we begin Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So that's going to be really helpful. I think, I know that it's guidance. Sometimes there was another question that came through about illness and God's free will. Sometimes they're trying to hack through whether that's their perception of, am I sick or is it God's will that I'm sick? And that when he wants me to heal, I'll be healed. Like, I'm throwing that one at you right there, sorry, right before commercial, but when is it our perception about why? Does it matter, like a justification or reason why we are in a situation, or is it just about, do you want to change it or not?
God is not a human being that does what, that operates on or manipulates on history. God is truth, the very same truth. That same consciousness that I said was constant, that's what we have named God. This is the God within. It's God that's looking through your eyes right now. God is the self, the only self. And so, no, it's not God's will that somebody gets sick. That's the human mind projecting onto the truth the qualities of a rather petty human being.
Yes.
And that's just been the mistake. The revelations of all revelators in every religious tradition that ever got started was a direct realization that the self was the I am. The self is what we have called God, and it then has gotten diluted by uninspired followers and, you know, people who want to use it for power, and, you know, cultural things get imposed on it. But the reality is that what is that God has to represent the ultimate, the truth, that which absolutely is. Okay, so what is? You, being.
That is absolutely beautiful. I could feel that inside, as if, you know, I kind of placed my little picture of what I think God is, you know, inside me, and then looking out my eyes and being, that's like, you know, the constant consciousness. And I think, I know we'll sneak away to commercials, but when we get back, anybody have any questions, please call us. It's 202-570-7057, and we are going to continue finding our way, being guided through as we hack through perceptions and not spirituality.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
We are learning the truth about hacking spirituality. So, I would love for you, if I love that you had written this once and said what this whole show is about non-dual self-inquiry, and you share that it is the most direct path. So it's not like it's a shortcut or a hack or a thing. It's just the most direct path.
Yeah.
What are we not having the sight seeing to then? Like, what's eliminated and what is helped out, like, by not, by doing the direct path and not going over here and there and here and there?
Well, what we really want is to get directly to the truth of our being. Now, for a lot of people don't even realize that that's what they're trying to get to. They think they're trying to improve their lives or make things better.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that the reason things aren't as harmonious as they can be is our fundamental misunderstanding of our own nature. Mm-hmm. And so the most direct way to happiness is to know who you are. Not just take who you are and try to improve it, right? That's the approach of, well, pretty much everything except for non-dual inquiry. I mean, even spirituality.
Yes.
We meditate so we can become more calm or less stressed or manifest something. We do yoga for health and to, you know, calm our bodies down and all that sort of stuff. We take classes to improve our minds, improve our skills. Nobody ever asks, but who are you?
Oh, okay,
who's
here's
the
a big
one
question.
You're trying to improve? Who is it that's actually there making the choices? Nobody asks who the I is.
Right, who are you trying to improve? Well, here's an interesting thing. So if somebody were to explore this, like, this is huge. And if they found out who they are, maybe, could they be a shitty person? And but then at least they know who they are. I mean, like, it doesn't mean you have to be a great, you know, god or somebody. You might just
well,
be.
Well, that's the fear. That is the fear. Yeah, and it doesn't matter how many times myself or any spiritual teacher tells you, you won't be disappointed. Right, you know, you know, full enlightenment or double your money back. Right, I mean, if you don't like it, go back to being deluded. I mean, but it doesn't matter how much I tell somebody that until you actually do it, because we're afraid of who we think we are. I mean, that was the whole thing in the beginning. The original trauma that put all of us onto this path is that we were not enough. Somewhere along the line, very early on, we got the idea, I'm not enough. What I am isn't good. This is the way we internalize things, right? When you're just being your normal, innocent, childlike self, when you're a little kid, but you earn the disfavor or maybe even the abuse of your caregivers, right? You don't think, oh my God, why did they do that? Jeez, they're so stupid. I'm just being a kid, right?
Right.
We go as, something's wrong with me. I can't be that. So your very natural exuberance, your very natural, the energy that's 100% authentic gets buried. It gets pushed aside because it's dangerous for it to come out. And then eventually we just, we become somebody we're not, because this somebody is what's able to get what it needs from the environment. You know, it gets the stuff, it gets taken care of in the way, in the best way that it can, because that's it. The nervous system is simply trying to survive. It's not trying to thrive. And so in order to do that, much of you has to be disowned, thrown away. Try to get rid of. You can't, of course. It's you. You can't get rid of you. And then later on, we're in life, and we're wondering why I don't feel complete. You know, why aren't things working? And then we set about trying to improve the imaginary character we produced in the first place to try to get what we needed. Of course, it's going to fail. You know,
yes.
Basically, you've created a cartoon character, and now you're giving medicine to a ghost.
Right. Oh, whoa, that was intense. Hold on. okay, then that almost begs the question. If I love that you said, you know, it's which trauma is it that put you on this path? Not that that was a question, but if we think about life like that, if I was like, you know what, I'm not well, or I'm unhappy, or I'm in a bad relationship, or I'm broke, so then I think, okay, well, which trauma put me on this path? Do I need to even know which trauma put me on the path, or do I need to just keep going back even further and ask the question?
There's only one. The alienation from yourself, that's it, the disconnection from your soul that took place when just being yourself became dangerous.
Aww.
And it happened to every single one of us. Nobody escapes it. This is the fall. This is what's represented by eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Instead of just the pure, exuberant innocence of the child, the undifferentiated consciousness, like a child or a dog for that matter, suddenly the world started becoming, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, you're okay, you're not okay. The world started getting divided into these designations, which are completely arbitrary and culturally imposed, and in direct contrast to your actual nature. That's the fall. And so parts of you had to be cut out, thrown to the side, locked in the basement, because they were dangerous. This is an essential disconnection from your soul. That is the one trauma.
Why can't they just have eaten the apple and been fine? My goodness, there's so many good nutrients in that, right?
Because it wasn't an apple. It was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was the dividing of the universe into these active and passive principles, which are completely arbitrary and culture-based. And when they ate it, the very first thing they felt, fear and shame.
Yes.
I mean, and that's what happened. And in that moment, the separate self is created.
Yes.
It doesn't actually exist, but that separate self is created in order to present to the environment what the environment is demanding it see in order for you to get what you need.
How do we know when we've hacked? How do we know when we get there? How do we know when we know ourselves? And that, yep, here I am. This is who I am.
Do you not recognize yourself when you look in a mirror? How can you not recognize yourself? That's the feeling of an aha moment, the feeling that something just feels so right. How is it? Because it is right, because it is you, right? It's the truth. You can't help but recognize it. You don't need a checklist. You don't need somebody coming along and verifying it.
Oh, yep.
It's like being in love, right? Does anybody have to tell you, you know, do you check that out? You know, you just know.
Right. Actually, super funny. There was a show on last night that I stumbled across. I can't remember what it's called. It's on Netflix. And it's somebody with autism, and they didn't know. Somebody asked them if they were in love, and they went through a checklist. And I'm just laughing because you just said that. Because it was what are the chances of that happening? What about the people who, oh my gosh, you just made me think of something beautiful. Because when you did say about people look in the mirror, do you not recognize yourself? And I have, I used to work in the weight loss industry, which means I worked with a lot of obese people. And they would come to me and they would say, I don't recognize myself when I look in the mirror anymore. Mm-hmm. And is what their beliefs know, who they know themselves to be no longer match what their decisions have made in life that is manifested their body?
Yes, the manifest world does not represent them. And but the
really
manifest world
this?
is created out of all sorts of these acquired beliefs and perceptions and ideas and assumptions. And the only way these perceptions and assumptions can be perpetuated is because of the fundamental ignorance of who you are. But yet when somebody looks in the mirror and goes, I don't recognize that, they do know who they are.
Yes.
They intuitively know it. We intuitively know something's not right.
Yeah.
That sense of something's not right is just as much the realization of truth as coming to actually see what you actually are. but what you actually are is nothing you can possibly imagine.
Right, yes.
The mind cannot conceive it.
Right.
But we're afraid that this limited, finite, messed up person that we had to create is who we really are. Because when that trauma takes place, the rest of our life we spend trying to compensate for that trauma.
Yeah.
And wow. Afraid that the truth is going to be revealed, that I really am not enough.
Mm. Yes.
And that's why we try to improve it, and that's why we're afraid to find out what the truth actually is.
Do you know, I can see this is exactly why I love that you shared that this self-inquiry is different than any spirituality, anyone you could take, because you're not looking at that trauma which you've identified with somehow, but that is so wrong. And I really love that you said that, and people, I hope that everybody listening can feel that if they've recognized that there is a disconnect between who they are seeing and what their life is like, and they're saying, no, it's not, that's a good thing. That means that you know that you are not that.
Right. And so now the difference in this path, in this approach, is you don't set out then to try to improve your life. You set out to try to find out who you actually are. This recognition that something's wrong, where's that coming from? How do I know something's wrong?
Yes. Well,
how do I even know that? I mean, yes. if I was just a dog, right? Mm-hmm. The dog doesn't, you know, say, God, you know, I'm so tired of begging and speaking on demand for this guy. I mean, they have no inner conflict over just being programmed to be a certain way. You do. Where's that coming from?
And does that mean we should follow that? If we instantly say, you know what, I just don't, this isn't right for, like, this is such a silly example, but I drive a car and then my dad lends me his van and I'm like, wow, I really love driving the van. Does that mean I just know that driving the car is wrong for me? Like, and then I just go, like in life though, you know, bigger examples.
Well, in a sense that it's true to just know things like your preferences. And of course, they're not consistent. They can change over time.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
The next day you can get in the car and, oh, I really like the car. I don't want to drive the van, right?
Yeah.
But in the moment, there's a clarity. There's something knows, right?
Yes.
Well, what's that something that knows? Mm. That's the question I ask. Now, how do you know that, right? What is this intuitive sense that of something you just know? Mm-hmm. That to me is worth following.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's a sense of truth, isn't it? If mm-hmm. it's a sense of truth, if I follow those breadcrumbs, I'm going to get to the truth.
Mm-hmm. And here's the big ending show-stopping question. If we follow those breadcrumbs and we finally know we've hacked, we know ourselves, does that mean we're done? We're dead. We're finito. We're not doing it. Is that the end of
us?
Yeah,
take up smoking or knitting or something. Yeah. No, what you find is that the most incredibly beautiful and subtle relationship between that which is changeless, which is yourself, and the changing world, which is you known. The world becomes a mirror.
Mm.
The knowing of yourself, which is changeless, but the knowing of it is eternally changing. It is the infinite. And so the motionless and the motion become one. The permanent and the impermanent become one. The two-ness just disappears. You can't separate it. It's like trying to separate the image in the mirror from the original. You can't do it. They're one. But one is the substance. One is what is. Everything else is what appears. But this one principle of beingness, which is our awareness, knows itself. And this self-knowing is what we call the universe.
Hmm.
The universe is the mind of God.
One, right. Universe one.
Aww. Yes.
That is beautiful. And we could continue living that way. For if somebody became enlightened at the age of 10, they could just live on forever, you know, till 100 in that beautiful one way.
Absolutely. Forever, right? It's the end of birth and death.
That's a lot to look forward to. I think that everybody listening right now is thinking, well, that sounds really lovely. See, it's worth inquiry. It's really worth a self-inquiry, everyone. And as we wrap up the show, I just want to say, you know, if you're looking to, you need some guidance on how to hack through these perceptions so that you can do the self-inquiry and do this beautiful inquiring work, then, you know, there's so many ways to get in contact with GP and help have him be your teacher, whether it's the retreat this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's gpwalsh.com/retreat. Or just get in touch with us, you know, message us right here on the forum. Call into the show next Tuesday. We're always here. And GP, as always, thank you so much for helping us explore hacking.
Thanks, Lisa.
Well, thank you, everybody. We'll see you somewhere. You'll show up and we'll help you along the way. So thank you, everybody. Until next week.